Hello, my name is John Calladine, and welcome to this podcast on charities, with particular emphasis on fundraising activities, trading and tax implications. One of the fascinations of working with charities is that no two charities are ever the same, and charities are always looking for ways of raising monies as distinct from a business which seeks to make profits, a subtle difference. One can understand the legislation, be able to lecture well on the subject, and even do podcasts. But what happens when a case arrives on your desk in your practice which does not quite fit the rules? I have had one of these recently, which has made me do research, and it is fascinating how the subject of fundraising is viewed by legislation. Fundraising is generally regarded as non-trading and exempt from tax, whether direct or indirect tax, i.e. corporation tax, income tax, and VAT. But there are exceptions, and care is needed, particularly if you're dealing with challenge events, which I will come to later. What is a fundraising event? It is an event clearly organised and promoted primarily to raise money for the benefit of a charity or qualifying body. Social events that incidentally make a profit do not fall within this exemption. People attending or participating in the event must be made aware of its primary fundraising purpose. Where an event is instant with an outcome or result, this means activities of a similar, regular or continuous nature, such as the frequent operation of a shop or bar, cannot therefore be an event. The relief is not intended to exempt normal trading activities from VAT. The following are examples of different kinds of events which may be held for fundraising purposes: a ball, a dinner dance, a barn dance, stage production, auction of bought-in goods, and many others. There is a limit to the number of events which are exempt, being restricted to 15 events of the same kind in any financial year at one location by a charity, including its trading subsidiary. Location means held in the same place. Similar kind of events held in different locations will qualify for exemption, provided all other conditions are met. For example, 20 dinner dances held by a national charity, each held in a different venue in the same financial year, will all qualify for relief. When an event such as a concert is repeated on consecutive evenings, each performance is a separate event and counts towards the maximum number of 15. Therefore, what events do not qualify for exemption from VAT? Events which counts towards 16 and more of the same kind held at the same location during the year. Events which are not organised with motives for fundraising purposes, such as social calendar events. Likewise, events that individuals take part in to raise funds for charities that do not fall within the fundraising exemption. For example, a commercially minded sports event such as a marathon. Charities may pay for places within such events and then offer these places to individuals. Where a charity allows individuals to take part in the event, regardless of the amount they raise, and the individuals do not receive any benefits in return, the monies they raise can be treated as a donation and outside the scope of VAT. HM Revenue and Customs do not consider the following to be benefits: 1. Provision of free training and health advice. 2. A free T-shirt, running vest or similar, which clearly portrays the charity that the individual is representing. 3. Free massages and support for physical well-being during the event. 4. Free pre-event meeting, which may include free professional advice or support, a simple meal, energy drinks, and encouragement from the charity and other participants. And 5. Free post-event meeting, which may include medical treatment or advice, changing facilities, light refreshments, and gives the charity the opportunity to thank participants. If the charity provides free travel or accommodation and other benefits or gifts, for example, bicycles or watches, the amount raised by the participant is taxable at the standard rate. If a charity requires individuals to pay for registration or insist that they raise a minimum amount of sponsorship before they can take part in the event, this is effectively an entry fee and is taxable at the standard rate. Any payment in excess of the minimum amount can be treated as a donation and outside the scope of VAT. If a charity asks individuals to pledge or commit to raise a certain amount of sponsorship, but do not insist on any payment before allowing the individual to take part in the event, the total amounts raised can be treated as donations and outside the scope of VAT. A charity can encourage individuals to pass on sponsorship money as they receive it, but cannot insist on receiving a certain amount before allowing the individual to take part. Incidentally, the charity's governing document may mean that the charity lacks the necessary powers to undertake a fundraising activity which is exempt from VAT and the profit of which will not be taxed under direct taxation. Charities in England and Wales seeking power to undertake a fundraising activity should approach the Charity Commission to see if their governing document can be amended. If the charity has powers which appear to cover the proposed fundraising activity, the charity trustees need to consider carefully whether they in fact do so. Any body which does not have the proper power to engage in substantial trading activities which involve significant risk to its property is unlikely to be a charity. A charity's assets have been given for charitable purposes and should not be exposed to any serious or substantial risk of loss in its fundraising activities. Risks which might be acceptable commercially will not necessarily be acceptable for the charity to undertake directly. Large-scale events such as celebrity concerts or sporting events can be a valuable way of raising funds. However, experience shows they also carry a high degree of risk, and a charity trustee should not normally undertake such activities within the charity. The Charity Commission strongly advises trustees to take professional advice before doing anything to expand a charity's direct fundraising activities in any way that falls outside the direct tax exemptions. The best way for your charity to raise funds and to take full advantage of the tax regime is to have a wholly owned trading subsidiary which pays all its profits to your charity under the gift aid scheme. What has come to interest me of late is the number of charities which now run what is termed challenge events. They are, of course, very popular with students embarking upon their gap year or young people seeking an opportunity to travel to different parts of the world, helping community and charitable projects. To make a difference and seen to be helping the third world looks good on the CV, enhances future employment prospects, and I suggest gives them an air of excitement rather than studying for an accountancy qualification. Many national charities, especially social and religious charities, pick up on these as a means of raising monies for their organisations and projects, mostly in the third world. For VAT purposes, these events, which if they include a package of travel and accommodation, which includes more than 2 nights accommodation, do not qualify for the fundraising exemption, so beware. I became aware of a series of challenge events in a recent charity audit, where the scale of events took the charity over VAT thresholds. These challenge events are subject potentially to the tour operator's margin scheme. Put very simply, VAT is paid upon the profit margin and not on the turnover, similar to second-hand car schemes, although somewhat more complex. So what are the issues here? Firstly, is the charity making a supply? If the charity insists that the participant makes a payment before allowing them to take part in the challenge event, the charity will be making a supply for VAT purposes. This might consist of a registration fee or deposit. The supply may be of a package to the participant or an agency service involving a specialist holiday company. Does the charity act as a disclosed agent, an undisclosed agent, or a principal? Most charities use the service of a specialised company organising challenge events, in which case there may be a contract disclosing who is responsible for what. The charity will be acting as a disclosed agent if both the charity and the specialised company have agreed that the charity will act as a company's agent, and the charity discloses the name of the principal, i.e. the company, in the event terms and conditions, etc., and the charity have not taken a significant commercial risk in relation to the event. If these agent disclosure conditions are not met, in which case the charity is acting as an undisclosed agent or as a principal buying and selling the entire event, then the tour operator's margin scheme applies. The redeeming factor in my audit was that these events were zero rated, as they were overseas and not in the UK or EC. However, the charity should have considered VAT registration and the operation of the tour operator's margin scheme, even though its activities were zero rated. The bonus side of this is that VAT input tax could be reclaimed in relation to the group as a whole, i.e. group VAT registration applied. A further interesting aspect of all of this is gift aid. If you look at some of the national charities applying these schemes, they appear to be asking participants to sign gift aid declaration certificates. The suggestion is that money given or raised is purely donated or voluntary. In my opinion, if the money is applied to the tour operator's margin scheme, gift aid is not applicable. If, however, the charity is raising money in addition to that paid to the agent for the travel and accommodation, then gift aid applies. It seems to me that this whole area is marginal and grey, and I leave it there for your thoughts. Certainly, as I've said so many times before, one holds one's professional indemnity insurance cover in one's left hand, as one dictates one's advice in the right hand. I wish you well, and thank you for listening to this podcast.